97.5, The Fanatic. Now, back to the Fanatic pregame show live from Parks Casino and Sportsbook on 97.5, The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Fanatic pregame show, 11:32, 97.5, The Fanatic. Good morning, Eagles, Browns, 1 o'clock. We get you set, Brian Westbrook, Derek Gunn, Devon Givens. And as we sit here, we are broadcasting live from Parks Casino and Sportsbook and the Dietz & Watson Mobile Broadcast Center. To find out where the Dietz & Watson Mobile Broadcast Center is next, go to 975thefanatic.com, presented by Dietz & Watson and the Heritage's Dairy Stores. For the area's best hoagies, visit DietzandWatson.com. And D-Gun, this week it was a good week for you, man, because you had the man, DJ Jazzy Jeff, on the Gun on One podcast.
Oh, yeah, man. That's my boy, man.
Oh, look, listen to that.
Yeah.
Listen to that.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
And one of the greatest hits ever.
And they had the reunion this week.
Yes. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion. You know, Jazzy Jeff, I've known him a long time, man. And for a guy who's well known as he is globally, you talk about a real down-to-earth brother, man. Just good people. If you didn't know who he was and what he did for a living, this is the kind of guy who would talk to you on the streets like he knew you forever. That's just his personality, man. And I had to rib him because I've been trying to get him on a show of mine for a couple of years, and he kept saying, D-Gun, I'm coming. And he would always find a way. You know, he travels 150, 160 days a year, so it was always hard. I'd be in a press box covering games, and I get a text from him. I said, man, where are you? He's in Amsterdam. He's in Holland. He's in Germany. I said, what time is it over there, man? 6 a.m. He was watching on Slingbox, you know. And he's sitting there analyzing games with me while I'm trying to watch an Eagles game. I'm like, man, would you go back to sleep or something? You know, but, dude.
He's just going around DJing, huh?
Huh? Dude, let me tell you something. Yeah, man. But he produces a lot of artists. I mean, this is a guy who helped people like Jill Scott, Eminem, The Roots, get the foundation that they have in music as well, man. So, he's been around, man. He's the godfather of DJing, man. I mean, he's not just a DJer. This dude set the standards for DJing, man. And he'll be 56 years old in January, and he's still relevant in the game. He's still at the top of his game, you know.
Yeah.
Unlike, you know, people like me and B. West, you know, who we ain't down in the valley yet, but we over the hill.
We looking down the hill like, oh.
You know, they say, you know, once you get over the hill, you down in the valley. You know, we long past the top of the hill, but we not down in the valley yet, man.
Right.
But yeah, man, and I'm going to have him on again.
That's
and now he claims, I don't know, I can't wait to see. He claims he's going to get me Will Smith on Gun on One.
Oh.
I said, if you get me Will Smith, that's why I just drop the mic and just walk off into the sunset. That's
last, it. Last Gun on One.
That's Will it. Smith. That's the last one. That's a swan song.
Okay.
It's like Jerome Bettis when he won the Super Bowl in his hometown, Detroit. He rode off into the sunset. Done. That's what I'm
going
to do.
And it's crazy because I've been going through, well, at the time, when it was prominent, when they were rebuilding the Sixers and Will and Jada would be in town at some of the games.
Yeah.
Of course, they can't be a lot as part owners of the team. And I know Charlie Mack a little bit, right? And
right.
He's like, Charlie, come on, man. I'm trying to, you know. And Charlie's always great with trying, but the schedule, you know, their schedule is tough. It's so
made up already,
and they got to go do this, and they got to go do that. It's been so difficult. So if you do pull that off.
Yes.
The Gun on One podcast.
That's it.
Fantastic.
That's it. That's the D-Gun Podcast Hall of Fame right there.
No question
about it.
That's
what you got to do. This is what you got to do. You got to say, you know, Jazzy Jeff, whenever you're with him, just call me when you guys are together and hand him your phone. I can't depend on Will to use his phone.
Right.
No. Just hand him your phone.
See, years ago, Jazzy Jeff used to live right down the street from me. He lived about 8 doors down from me.
Okay.
And I didn't find out till after the fact that every now and then Will would sneak in at night, hang out with Jazz, and then take off and leave before the neighborhood knew he was there and stuff. I said, Jazz, you couldn't call me, text, smoke signal, something, just so I could drive around the corner and see him walking out the house. Anything?
You see how celebrities do, man. They move in silence.
Hey, Devon.
Yes.
B. West was the same way, bro. I ain't going to lie to you. He was the same way, bro.
He used
to give me the highest money. I can't emphasize this enough. I'm sitting here with this man chopping it up talking football, and I keep having these flashbacks of how B. West used to give me the highest money in the locker room all the time.
You had all the players already. I mean, why you need to hear me if you already had all the guys? All the guys lined up and waited for you.
But you were a prominent player. I wanted to hear from you. You were articulate and insightful.
Man.
You know he doesn't look at himself like that.
I know.
He just goes, plays, and goes about
his
business.
You know what I wanted to do?
All he cared about was his paycheck.
I just wanted to, make sure that Monday came and I was there.
And the W.
You still get paid today? Okay, perfect. I'm here.
Oh, man.
Well, listen, guys, that's a great one. Can you tell us next week or you have to wait?
I got another one of my all-time favorites. You know, I've been in this city now over 23 years. I got Ray Dinger on tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Ray. From NBC
and you know, Ray,
Sports.
Ray walks around with an encyclopedia of information.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget when we used to do the post-game shows together, he would bring it up occasionally how when he graded Barrett Brooks, my former co-host on Quick Slants, when he graded Barrett Brooks, he graded Barrett Brooks as a second-round draft pick. I'll be doggone, Barrett Brooks was a second-round draft pick.
Yes, he was.
You know, Ray Dinger is the godfather of football knowledge, man. Mm-hmm. You know, remember, you might be too young, but you remember they had the old yellow pages you would get all the time, them thick yellow pages? You know, that's Ray's notebook, man. They're like, Ray, how do you recall this stuff, man? I can't remember yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, that's Ray.
Smart man.
Great guest for on Gun on One. Man. Make sure you listen out for that. DJ Jazzy Jeff, fantastic. Listen, B. West before that. Seth Joyner, some great listen overall. And a great listen every time this guy joins us on the pregame show. You hear him during the week as well with Mike Missanelli. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward from ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim McMahon is T-Mac. Good morning.
Morning, guys. What's going on?
Oh, a lot, man. A lot. We've been talking with us. It's been so bad with the Eagles, we had to transition to talk about some music with DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah, I know, man. That's bad.
And that's good, though, because Jazzy Jeff is Jazzy Jeff. So there's that. But listen, man.
I don't blame you for talking.
Right? Exactly. So, look, well, we talked about a lot of stuff, of course, to start things off. And really, the focus was, again, T-Mac, the game itself, and then the head coach there afterwards. And how would you assess, and you asking questions as well in the press conference, and 1 week you'll get him going and someone else will get him going. Does he seem like he's starting to really kind of fold under the pressure here as things continue on week to week?
I don't know that I would describe it as him folding. And I think that we also have to be careful when we kind of assess this team, because this is usually the moment, and we don't know what's going to happen, but this is usually the moment where every doubter has been lined up and they give plenty of reason for that, but then they fight back. And that has been the signature trait of a Doug Peterson team. It can be infuriating for fans because sometimes it takes them getting to the precipice of disaster in order for them to start functioning at a pretty high level. But that has been the trademark. And so let's see. People have essentially written this team off, rightfully so, because when you look at the next five games, it's against teams with collective winning percentage of 7-11. Okay, so these are all really good teams that, in theory, will smoke the Eagles. But there was a little bit of a different energy pace, I would say, at practice this week. I think that they're starting to feed into the defiant mental mindset of, you know, now we're going to show what we are. And so, you know, Peterson, I mean, he hasn't been pushing the right buttons clearly. And sometimes it feels like he's just not all the way kind of at full octane like we've seen in the past. But let's see what happens over these next couple games before we roll this head coach out.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Tim, that is so sad to hear. I mean, it's good to hear that they're at a different level this week, but you have to wonder, what is it, week 10, week 11?
Week 11.
What took so long to get to that point? And I won't burden you with that because I know that's a long-winded answer there. But offensively, let's start there. How can we get splash plays? We know that the issues with the return team, you know, terrible field position as far as returning the football for the starting offense. How can we get splash plays out of this offense, and how much of Miles Sanders will we see today as far as carrying the football?
Yeah, B. West, it's counterintuitive to get your splash plays through the run, but that's really what has been their best option so far. I mean, they're actually averaging more per rush than they are per pass this year. That is like on an historic trajectory. Like that doesn't happen, but that has been what's going on with this football team. And so I think that you trust in that a little bit more and you ride the run game. And here's another idea. How about you get Jalen Reagor out in space? You know, when I was looking at the numbers, I was shocked to see, and I hadn't realized it. You know that he hasn't had one rush all year. They haven't run him a one jet sweep. And the only rush that he has to his name was actually a backwards pass by Carson Wentz. And so what's going on there? I mean, he has the fifth most air yards per attempt in the NFL, Rager. The targets per him, air yards per target, over 15, which means that a lot of these are downfield shot plays, which is great. He's got speed, all that kind of stuff. But the rep on him coming out of TCU was just get him in space, man. You know, just throw him quick screens, do the end arounds. Find ways for him to create. That's what he is able to do. And the coaching staff and Carson Wentz have not done a good enough job of making that happen. And so what I would do, because your quarterback is struggling, just lean on that run game, lean on the quick strike game, and get this rookie going because he is hungry to get going.
Hey, Tim, I just want to know, why you guys antagonize Doug so much, man? Well, I don't understand. See, I would never do that, Tim. You know, I know
you would never do that. Not a shot.
but Tim, you talk about, and I agree with you 100%, and I was thinking about this earlier the week. You're right. Just when we're about to count this team out is when they turn it around. But I don't have the same feeling this year. I don't have the same confidence this year. I don't know what it is. You know, I'm expecting to see that turnaround. Now, you look at who they're playing today. You look at what comes after that. If they don't win this game today, then what will Tim McManus say?
Well, I mean, if they don't win this game today and Carson Wentz keeps looking the way that Carson Wentz keeps looking, then I think that it gets into a realer space of, okay, do you flirt with Jalen Hurts a little bit more? I think that's where the conversation ends up leading. You know, if the rest of the season is a disaster, then, you know, then the triumvirate that they have of coach and quarterback and GM is going to be under heavier scrutiny. And it's been a precipitous fall. I mean, that's kind of a strange thing to say because they've been to the playoffs 3 years in a row and it's been, you know, Super Bowl is mixed in with that. but something feels a little bit broken here. So obviously a lot of this becomes about the evaluation of the quarterback and can he get right? Because this is just kind of a bizarre turn of events for an almost MVP to turn into one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. And that's what he has been, statistically. That's what he's been. And so if it doesn't turn around, I think a big part of it is going to fall on the shoulders of number 11. But that doesn't mean that the coaching staff escapes blame. Like listening to Brandon Graham talk this week, he basically said that the elephant in the room, his term, was the fact that the sloppy practices that they've been having have been spilling over into the games. And that the players had to pick up their voices and get people to self-police more because that sloppiness has been going on. So you're right. I mean, this isn't kind of a normal team that we're associated with. And some of the, you know, where they've been mentally isn't what we're used to. So that just puts all the scrutiny on the head coach and the quarterback, and that will certainly continue if they stumble today.
Tim McManus joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward the pregame show with Brian Westbrook, Derek Gunn, and Devon Given.
Tim, we talked about the offense. We obviously talked about the things the offense have not been able to do, and I think it certainly starts with practice, but it starts on the defensive side with practice as well. Them being able to get off the football, them being able to rush the passer, put pressure on the quarterback, as well as the ability to stop the quarterback runs and just runs in general. Gallman had a pretty good game last week against our defense. What happened to our run defense where they were once a dominant run-stopping defense led by Fletcher Cox? Now, you know, if I'm a running back, I want to play against the Eagles. What has happened to our defense, and what can Jim Schwartz do this week to try to stop this two-headed monster of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb?
And it's kind of disconcerting when you break down the numbers, B. West, because, you know, ESPN does a strength of schedule and they do it also by, you know, defensive opponents and offensive opponents and break it down that way. And the Eagles have had one of the easiest schedules when it comes to opposing offenses to date. They had like the second easiest schedule over the first half, and it becomes one of the most difficult over the second half of the season where it's like the third or fourth most difficult stretch that they have for this defense. In other words, you know, the best chances for the defense is behind them, and their toughest opponents are right in front of them. And that starts this week. I mean, Cleveland, you know, it's not like they're world beaters, but a pretty solid team with two really good running backs in Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, who have been very effective getting the job done. And I think that, you know, of course, like the guys that you rely on, like the Fletcher Coxes and guys along the defensive front can pick up their game. But, you know, I don't know that Jim Schwartz can fix the linebackers. And I think what we're seeing is that this just dedication to not caring about the linebacker position has really manifested itself this season to come and bite them right in the backside. I mean, they, you know, whatever you scheme up, you know, how are you going to slow down the tight ends? How are you going to make sure that these guys aren't making these mental mistakes? Like I think of last week, Daniel Jones, who, and the rushing touchdown that he had on the zone read, but Jim Schwartz called that an embarrassment because they lined up in the exact same formation in the one where he ran 80 yards a couple weeks before that, and yet they could not fill out their assignments. And that was T.J. Edwards' fault. I mean, he admitted it. You know, I had the wrong read on that. I should have been on outside, and I was on the inside of my block. And so I just don't know how you can coach out a lack of quality in your linebacker position. And I think when you look at roster construction there, and you have to point the finger at Howie Roseman and just the philosophy of this team to just not care about linebackers, and you just can't do it in the NFL. It's become a huge vulnerability for them, and I don't know that that gets fixed in season.
Especially when you have an aged defensive line, you cannot start to think that the linebackers do not matter. Especially when your defensive line continues to age every single year,
I agree more. And Tim, give me one aspect, Tim, from the Eagles that you will be looking at closely today.
Well, one thing I would like to see is a little bit more production out of the defensive secondary. And, you know, they have invested heavily, at least in Darius Slay, who's been pretty good for most of the season. But I think maybe you're hoping that there would be just a little bit more, or that the rest of the defense will kind of coalesce around that quality of talent. He takes away a side of the field or a star player, and all the other pieces fall together. But when you look at the cornerback position, Begun, and Avante Maddox just hasn't really been as good as he needs to be as that CB2 for them. The safeties have been okay, but need to generate more plays. And then you look around, some of the guys that they had let go, whether it's Sidney Jones or Rasul Douglas, guys who are finding success in other places. And so I feel like the time has passed of them adjusting to a new scheme of playing a lot more man-to-man. I think now is a perfect time against a quarterback in Baker Mayfield who can give up the ball now. I mean, he can, you know, he's certainly prone to mistakes. Take advantage of that. You know, get these secondary guys involved, turning the ball over, giving a short field for a struggling quarterback. I think those are the types of keys that can get you a win in Cleveland. It's supposed to be a mess there, precipitation-wise, weather-wise. And so, all the more reasons why there'll be some passes that'll be, you know, astray, and let that secondary take advantage of it.
And Tim, finally, on the way out, you reported yesterday, Press Taylor and Aaron Moorhead out for this game, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. How is that going to flow now with the play calling duties? Just Doug relaying the plays to Carson Wentz?
Yeah. So I checked in with Peterson about that, and I asked him who's going to take over Press Taylor's role and be the primary voice in Carson Wentz's ear on game day now that he's out. And he responded, "Me." So I said, "Are you expecting that there's going to be more sideline conversation then between you and Carson Wentz?" And he said, "Sure." I think that we should look for that on the sidelines, because oftentimes, and I know that this has been a gripe for a lot of people who watch these games closely, is that oftentimes Wentz is just like on the bench by himself, looking at his tablet, trying to work it out. And then you see like Andy Reid next to Patrick Mahomes, and you're like, what's going on? Why isn't he being coached more in real time? There's an opportunity for that, and maybe it'll be good for Wentz to have that kind of direct communication with the head coach, have a different voice in his ear, and see if there's any response. But, yeah, the responsibilities that Press Taylor has been holding, at least according to the head coach, are going to flow to Doug Peterson.
Well, great information as always from Tim McManus. If you want to hear more, you can hear it during the week on 97.5 The Fanatic. And certainly read him on ESPN.com. All the latest and greatest, of course, there from Tim McManus. T-Mac, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate you as always. As we say thank you, of course, we say happy Thanksgiving to you as well. And we will catch up with you next weekend.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you. All the best to you and your families.
And sorry.
Same to you, man.
Next Monday, right? Next Monday.
Oh, Monday night football. Here we go.
All right, we get Sunday off?
You get Sunday off.
What?
We got to come to work on Monday, though.
Wait. Yeah. Wait, I ain't know nothing about this, man.
You signed up for it.
No, I didn't. I signed up for Sundays.
Signed up for Sundays?
Yeah.
So you'll be here by yourself?
Do I get free food?
we'll have our people call your people. We'll discuss it then.
Okay. All right.
We'll text you while we're sitting
in our
homes.
We'll call Mrs. Gunn. Yeah. No, don't do that, man.
Don't do that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. All right. A lot there from Tim. We'll get into the actives and inactives. We'll dive a little bit more into the Cleveland Browns and certainly around the NFL. Teddy Bridgewater now out for the Carolina Panthers. That has been already reported so far. So from Fox, so it looks like he's going to be out. P.J. Walker, again, Temple, will step into the starting role today against the Detroit Lions, I believe they are playing. Yes, they're playing the Detroit Lions, hosting them in Carolina. So we'll get into a lot more on the other side. 610-632-0975. If you want to check in on anything Tim had to say, anything regards to the Birds today, we're here for you. Until one, getting you set for Eagles-Browns. Let's continue to talk about it all right here. Brian Westbrook, Derek Gunn, Devon Givens, live from Parks Casino. The all-new sportsbook. The line has formed right here. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.